All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. We are picking up. Today's daf is Chav Tes 29. We are picking up at the Mishnah. Chav Tes Amud Beis 28b. It's the Mishnah towards the bottom of the daf. Thank you to our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Tammuz, Uncle Mike Holtzman, Yashar Koyach. And I will say with that, let's begin. I think that was... Just make sure I have no other... Perfect. All right, Tabos, with that, let's begin. So it says the Mishnah, Cherme Kohanim Inlan Pigyom. Tabos saying, literally again, Kohanic Charamim. Now Tosos points out over here that Cherme Kohanim means Perush Charamim Lit Hanitonim LeKohanim. So this is talking about the type of Cherim that is given ultimately again to Kohanim. So a person goes ahead and pledges a Cherim to Kohanim. What's the halacha? Inlan Pigyom. These type of charamim, these type of cherim vows, have no redemption. Ela nostim lakohanim kitshuma, but rather they are simply given to the kohanim, just like truma. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir says, "Stam charamim lebedek habayis." What about stam charamim? What about an unspecified cherim vow? So what do you do with that? Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir says, ultimately these are given to bedek habayis. Bedek habayis means general temple upkeep, which I will say for general temple upkeep. Shinep, you did the Mishnah. Chazara, you'll be excellent in it now. Shine emar, I'm not going to test you, Said, but I'll take your word for it. Shine emar kol cherim kodesh kadoshim ula Hashem, because the pasuk says any cherim is kodesh kadoshim to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So both says Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir understands that what, and by the way, no one else stopped me besides you, which probably indicates that. So it's good. Something is so good. So no one else remembers it. So pasuk is Kol Cherim Kodesh Kadoshim Ula Hashem. Because we'll say now the pasuk over here of Kol Cherim Kodesh Kadoshim Ula Hashem ultimately means what? That halacha lemaisa, any stam cherim is a Kodesh Kadoshim Ula Hashem. Kodesh Kadoshim Shkodesh Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir means bedek habayis. So the Gemara says, good. Kol cherem, I'm sorry, Chacham say, stam charamim lekohanim. The Chachamim on the other end say, that stam charamim, unspecified cherem vows, go to the kohanim. Shene emar, kisadea cherem lekohin tiyach uzaso. Im kein, lama neemar kol cherem kodesh kadashim ulashem. If that's the case, then why does the pasuk say, kol cherem kodesh kadashim tu Hashem, shechal al kodshe kadashim, Va'al kodshim kali, to teach us ultimately again that the concept of a cherim, we'll see what this means in the Gemara, could evolve even upon kodshim kadoshim and kodshim kali. So what this means is that even if you have a karban that is sanctified as kodesh kadoshim or kodshim kalim, the status of a cherim could still devolve upon that. Again, we'll have to see how exactly that works. Machrim Adam es Kadoshev, here the Mishnah tells us. So a person, Machrim Adam es Kadoshev, Bein Kodshe Kadoshev, Bein Kodshim Kalim. So we'll say a person has the ability to impose a Cherim status upon his Karban, whether it's Kodshe Kadoshev or Kodshim Kalim. So what would you do? Im Neder, if the Karban that you're offering is a Neder, no Sein de Mehen. So we'll say, so for example, if a person is offering up a Neder Karban, or a Karban as a Neder, and then he says, I hereby pledge this carbon as a cherim. So what's the halacha? That essentially obligates you to give the value of that carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. And if it's a nedava offering, no sin es tovasan. You give the tovas hana. What does that mean? Shar ze ola. So for example, if let's say you are pledging an ola as your neder, then what? Om din kama adam rotze litin b'shar ze lahalosa ola. We look at how much would a person pay, right? How much would a person pay for the privilege of offering up this shor as an ola? Oh, so the Gemara says, "La losa ola afa pishen rashai." Even though, again, a person is not obligated to give this animal as a carbon. Habachar bein tam bein balmum. I will say, ultimately, again, if a person has a bechar animal, which already has, again, bechar sanctity, whether the bechar is a tam or a balmum, machrimin oso. You also have the ability to consecrate this as a cherim. The ketzad podimo, so how do you redeem it? omdin kama odom rotze litin bebechorze litno leben bito ula ben achoso. We assess how much would a person pay to give this bechor animal to the son of his daughter or to the son of his sister. Also, what this means is, if I'm a Yisrael, and I have, let's say, a grandson who is a Kohen, or a nephew who is a Kohen, how much would I pay to give this bechor ultimately to my grandson or to my nephew as a matona, as a matnos kuhuna? And that's the amount that I would then pay as the cherem amount to the Beis HaMikdash. Good. Top of Chav Tes. Tan Rabbanan. Cherme Kohanim Ein Len Pid. You have a nose in the coin. So we'll say, remember again, going back now to Cherme Kohanim, which Tosas defined us as Cherme Kohanim are a cherem that is given to the Kohanim. So ultimately, again, a cherem that's given to the Kohanim does not have any pidyon, does not have redemption, but rather is given to the Kohen, most in the Kohanim. Charamim kolzman shem beis bailim harin kehegdish. So both say, if I was machrim something, so if I dedicated something, or I, not dedicated is the wrong word, I pledged something, thank you, as a cherem, when it's in my home, it has the status of hekdish. L'chol divrayin sheneemar, kol cherem b'Yisrael kodesh kadosh mulashem. Nastan l'koin, but once you give the cherem to the koin, harei hein l'chol divrayin kechul. So this is actually very interesting. A cherem in the house of Yisrael, cherem ekonim in the house of Yisrael, ultimately, again, has the status of Kodesh Kadoshim, has the status of Hegdish. Once I give that Cherem to the Kohen, it has the status of Chulin. Meaning, what the Gemara essentially saying is like this. Some items, even once you give them over to the Kohen, so retain some type of residual Hegdish status. That is not the case with a Cherem. Once a Cherem has been given over to the Kohen, it becomes like Chulin L'chol Divreim, Shene'emar, Kol Cherem B'Yisrael L'cha Yihyeh. As the Pasuk says, any Cherem in Yisrael, once it's given over to the Kohen, it shall be the possession of the Kohen L'chol Davar. Ultimately, again, there is no residual Hagdish status. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira Omer, Stam Charamim L'bedek HaBayis. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira said, if you make a Stam Cherem, ultimately, again, is given to Bedek HaBayis. Remember, again, Bedek HaBayis means temple upkeep. Temple upkeep. Bishlam Rabbanon. So we'll say, now we have a fundamental machlokas in Mishnah. What happens in the case of Stam Charamim? So in the case of Stam Charamim, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says it goes to Bedek HaBayis according to the Chachamim, Stam Charamim, an unspecified Cherem vow, goes to Kohanim. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbanon Kidikam Mefarshi Tamayu. So ultimately, again, according to the Rabbanon, I understand they quote a pasuk. The time is Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. El Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, Hai Kiste Acherim, my Avdile. So we'll say, what does Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, first wide line, Chavtesim Badalev, what does Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira do with the pasuk that the Rabbanon used? The pasuk of Kiste Acherim, what does he do with it? Mi Baile Lechidisanyon. He requires it for the following teaching, as we learned in the Braisa. Kisteir achirim the coin tiyach uzaso. The pasuk says that the chirim will be right like the coin for his portion. Matamalomer, what does this come to teach us? Minayin the coin shekdish stecharamo. Well, it's an interesting case. What happens if a coin gets a stecharim? Right, so somebody is machrim his field, and it becomes the property of the coin. Now the coin is makdish that field. See, he is makdish a stei hacherem. So what happens in that case? Minayin lekoin shekdish stei charamo. Shelo yomar hoil v'yotze lekohanim v'harehi tachas yadi tehei shali. Now listen to this. Now what happens normally again with cherem fields? So cherem fields become the property of the coin. So now a coin takes a field that he acquired through a cherem. He is now makdish it. So if you're a Kohen, you have a pretty good swara. What would you say to yourself? Listen, under normal circumstances, if somebody made a field cherem, the cherem field becomes the property of the Kohanim. So v'dinhu b'shel acherem ani zocha. So if says the Kohen, if I acquired the cherem fields of others, b'shel atzmi l'kol shekein, then certainly again I should acquire this cherem field as well. Suppose, remember again, the Kohen is taking a field that he acquired through cherem, he's now makdish it. He's a shtekel tamid chacham, this coin. So what does he say? If I acquire other cherem fields, then what? I should certainly acquire this cherem field as well. Talmud lomar kistei achirim lakoyin tihya achuzaso. V'chi ma lamadu mistechirim me'ata harizya badalamed v'nim salamad mak yishtei charamo liste achuza. Both said the pasuk teaches us that we come to compare the stecherim to the steachuza. Steachuza is an ancestral field. Ma shal Yisrael. Ma steachuza shal Yisrael yotze mitachas yadom ischalekes lekohanim. Just like the steachuza, Rabbo say, leaves his possession and is divided up amongst all of the kohanim. Af stecharamo yotze mitachas yadom ischalekes leachav kohanim. So Rabbo say, if the kohen has a stecherim and he is makdishit, that stecherim leaves his possession and is divided up amongst all of the kohanim. V'idach, and the other opinion will say, mecherim hacherim. He'll learn this out, I'll say, from the extra phrase, mecherim hacherim, v'idach, cherim hacherim lo mashmolei. V'rabbi Huda ben Beseira, dechal al kodshe kadoshim, v'al kodshim kalim minolam. But see, where does Rabbi Huda ben Beseira know that a chirim status could devolve even upon kachim kadoshim and kachim kalim? So remember again, we saw this in the Mishnah. The Rabbanan darshan this in the Mishnah, that chirim status could devolve even upon pre-existing karbanos. How do we know according to Rabbi Huda ben Beseira that this could happen? Minale, savalik Rabbi Shmuel. Ultimately, Rabbi Huda ben Beseira holds the Rabbi Shmuel. But Rabbi Shmuel, we're going to see in the next Mishnah. Amar Rav, so Rav said, Halacha, Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. Rav said that the halacha follows Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, which means what? That stam charamim leben akabayis. That if a person makes a stam chirim vow, that stam chirim goes to leben akabayis. So this is Rabbi said. Remember again, this is the machlokas in the Mishnah. Rabbi Huda holds stam chirim goes to leben akabayis. The Rabbanan hold that stam chirim goes to kohanim. So says the Gemara v'Rav Shavik Rabbanan va'avik Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. The Rabbi said, now this is a bit strange. Why? Because here the Mishnah records in Machlokes and Rabbi Huda ben Beseira and the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon would seem to be the Rov, would seem to be the majority. Yet Rav is setting aside the majority opinion and is paskening like the minority opinion, like Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. So why would Rav do such a thing like this? To which the Gemara says, the Rav Shavik Rabbanon va'avik Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, Breisa Ipcha Tanya. Rav found a braisa that quoted the opinions just the opposite. That it was the Rabbanon who held stam charamim lebet kabayis, and Rabbi Huda ben Beseira held stam charamim lekohanim. So therefore, when Rav says that we paskin ultimately like Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, he really was ultimately saying that we paskin like the Rabbanon. I don't understand. So the Gemara says, Tanya, so Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. But still, why would Rav set aside the Mishnah and pass him like the Braisa? Rav Masnisin Nami Ipchatani. In Rav's version, the Mishnah was also switched around. Why does Rav switch around the Mishnah to conform with the Braisa? Why not switch around the Braisa to conform with the Mishnah? Rav Gimare Gamir. Rav had a tradition. Rav's Mesora ultimately was that it was the Rabbanon who held Stam Charamim to Bedek HaBayis, and Rabbi Huda ben Beseira held Stam Charamim to Kohanim. Ihachi, Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, Kirabbanon Mibayle. If that's the case, then why does Rav say that the Halacha follows Rabbi Huda ben Beseira? He was really saying that the Halacha follows the Rabbanon. Hachi Kamalei, this is what he means to say. According to you who have an inverted Mishnah, halacha Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. Ultimately, the halacha follows Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. But really, what Rav was saying was that halacha lemaisa, the halacha follows the Rabbanon. But in his version, the Rabbanon were saying that stam charamim lebedek habayis. And I will say that is indeed, by the way, how the Rambam paskins. Like this inverted version of Rav. That namely, if you make a stam chirim ultimately goes to Bedek HaBayis. Hahu gavra da'achra minhu l'nechase b'pumpadisa. It was an interesting case. There was a man who made his property, and he pledged his property as a chirim. Right? He made his property chirim. He was living in Pumbedisa, in Babel, in the diaspora, and he made his property, he conferred chirim status upon his property. Asala kamed Rabbi Yehuda. So as I came over Rabbi Yehuda, so now what do you do with this? Amar lei, here's what you do. Shakul arba'a zuze va'achil alayhu. Take four zuzim, and deconsecrate your entire estate on the four zuzim. Vishadinhu benara vilishtiru lecha. And throw the four zuzim into the river, and the entire property becomes deconsecrated. Okay. Amokasavra. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? What you see from here is Amokasavra stam charamim lebedek habayis. So we'll say, so clearly what's happening over here? What's happening over here is the man made his property chirim. So we're seeing over here that the eight that he's being given is essentially redeem your entire property on four zuzim and take that four zuzim and throw it into the river. So first of all, that tells us a number of things. That stam chirim is for bedek habayis. That's what it's telling us. And ultimately, again, kiman kishmuel do'amar hekdish shavem mana shechila shavem pruta mechula. And also, furthermore, it tells us that in general, when you have hekdish lebedek habayis, you can deconsecrate hekdish lebedek habayis even at a lower value. Kishmuel holds that if you have hekdish that is shavem mana, right, that is worth a mana, and you redeem it on a pruta, ultimately it is redeemed. Emar d'amar Shmuel shechilulu lechatchila mi amar. So first of all, when Shmuel said you could do this, Shmuel seems to be saying ex post facto, if you redeemed something for less than its value, it works. But would Shmuel be telling you to do this lechatchila? Sahani min libis man shevesa mikdash kayim diga pseida. So you're right. When the Beis HaMikdash stands, therefore, again, generally lechatchila, we would not allow you to redeem hekdish at less than its value. Why? Because that represents a loss to the Beis HaMikdash. Aval bizman hazeh afila lechatchila. This is actually quite amazing. But bizman hazeh, where the Beis HaMikdash does not yet stand, we allow you to deconsecrate hekdish even for less than its value. We'll say, why do we allow you to do this? Because ultimately, again, it's in society's best interest that we deconsecrate hekdish as quickly as possible, because we don't want hekdish sitting around. Therefore, we allow you to deconsecrate hekdish even at less than its value. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, we allowed this individual who was makdish his estate as a chirim to go ahead and deconsecrate the entire estate for the value of four zuzim. Then I will say, what does it mean that you throw it into the river? So remember, again, this is the concept of the Yolich Liyam HaMelach, right? This is actually Tosas points out that normally what we would require you to do is what? Grind up the coins. We actually require you to destroy the coinage, throw the dust into the river, so that no one should get any kind of benefit from the coinage itself. To which the Gemara says, "Aval bizman hazeh afilu lechatchila." Ihochi, if that's the case, afilu pruta nami. So why do you need four zuzim? Let him deconsecrate it even on just a pruta. To which the Gemara says, "Pirsume milsa." We want people to know about this. So if he's just deconsecrated, so four zuzim is a more significant amount of money, because a significant amount of money, people will know what's happened. If it was just a pruta, generally, again, because that's a more insignificant amount, the whole process would unfold and people would not know what's happened. So we'll say, so this episode is important on two levels. Number one, it reinforces the halacha as we know it, which is stam charamim are for bedek habayis. That's number one. That if you make a stam chirim vow, that amount or that money or that property, in this case, property, is pledged to bedek habayis, temple upkeep, which means financial sanctity. What it also tells us is that halacha lemaisa, if you make a chirim vow today, what do we do with it? What do we do with it? We redeem it, right? We redeem the item, in this case, the property. Number three, what's the halacha? That in terms of redemption, you do not need a dollar for dollar redemption. You can even redeem a very significant amount of property on a very small amount of money. How much money? Enough that people wouldn't know about it. What do you do with the money that is used for redemption? What do you do with it? destroy it. Essentially, throw it into the sea. Amar Ula. Ula says, "I havi hasam. If I was there, have a hivna kula lekohanim." So we'll say Ula comes along and says, "By the way, if I was there, I would have given it all to the kohanim." Amal kasavar. So what does Ula hold? Stam charamim lekohanim. So we'll say Ula obviously is of the opinion that stam charamim are not to be the kabayis, but rather stam charamim go to the kohanim. Meisvei. So the Gemara raises the kasha. Ain Eved Ivri Noheg, Elibizman Shayoval Noheg. Eved Ivri only applies at a time that Yovel applies. Shene Emar, Achnas Hayovel Yaavod Imcha. So we'll say ultimately again the Pasuk says by Eved Ivri, right? He will work with you until the year of Yovel. So the fact that it links Eved Ivri with Yovel tells me that halacha lamaisa Eved Ivri only applies when there's a concept of Yovel. Ve'in steacherim nohages elabizman shayovel noig. Furthermore, again, steacherim, we'll say the concept of making a field cherim also only applies when Yovel applies shene emar v'yatsa biyovel v'shav la'achuzaso. So we'll say, so here indicating to us that steacherim only applies ultimately when Yovel applies. Ein bate arechoma noagin ela bizman shayoval noheg. Furthermore, again, bate arechoma, we'll say we'll discuss this more in the next parak, but bate arechoma refer to homes in walled cities. So the halachas, home in walled cities, have interesting halachos, which is that you could redeem them within the first year after the sale, but after that they are irredeemable and do not return back to the original owner in the Yovel year. Different type of property law. So ayin bate arechom noagin ela bizman sheyovel noag shenemar lo yetzi bayovel. Rav Shema Yochai Omer ein stecharamim noagin ela bizman sheyovel noag. So also Rav Shema Yochai says that stecharamim, right, making a field chirim, only applies at a time when there is Yovel shenemar v'hayo asada b'tzeiso bayovel kodesh l'Hashem kistecharim. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Ein Gertoshav Noeg, Ela Bizman Sheyovel Noeg. Well, this is actually very interesting as well. The concept of a Gertoshav literally is translated as resident alien. So that concept, that's a non-Jew, does not apply except by Yovel. Now, we'll say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi's almost right across. Ein Gertoshav Noeg, She Yisrael Mitzuv Lachiosav Gertoshav Shekibel Alav Sheolav Olavodos Kochabim Va'ochel Nevela. So we'll say Gertoshav essentially is a non-Jew who has accepted upon him Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, most specifically not to worship idolatry. The halacha is that a Jew is obligated to instaka and to sustain a ger toshav. That concept only applies to the Gemara posits when Yovel is in effect. Amar Abibi, my taima, what's the reason for all of these things? My taima, Asya Tov Tov. Actually, this is by Ger Toshav. What's the reason why Ger Toshav doesn't apply except by Yovel? Makes Exer Shav of Tov Tov. Ksiv Hacha Ki Tov Lo Imcha. It says over here, ultimately, again, it'll be good. Ki Tov Lo Imcha. It'll be good for him with you. Uksiv Hasam. We'll say this is by Eved Ivri. Ki Tov Lo Imcha. Uksiv Hasam Batov Lo Sonenu. So we'll say, use the same motion of Tov by Eved Ivri as it does by Ger Toshav. Just like Eved Ivri only applies when there is Yovel, so too Ger Toshav only applies when there is Yovel. To which the Gemara says, Lo Kash, so we'll say, so this clearly indicates to us that Halacha Lamaisa Stecharamim only applies when there is Yovel. Right? So we'll say, if that's the case, that Stecharamim only applies by Yovel, going back for just a moment, the case of the guy who was makdish his property in Pumbedisa. Bipasha Sabo said that was a case of where Yovel didn't apply. Why didn't Yovel apply? Yovel only applies when Rov Yoshvel Aleha, only when the majority of Klal Yisrael was living in Eretz Yisrael. Sabo said Bipashtos over here, Bipashtos in the case of Pumbedisa, there was no biblical Yovel that was in effect. If that's the case, then how was the guy making his Sadeh a Stecherim? To which the Gemara says, "Lo kasha, habem mekarkoi, habem metaltali." This is actually very interesting. That ultimately, again, stecherim will only apply to karka when there is yovel, but it applies to movable property metaltalin even when yovel is not in effect. I bahab maise b'de pompadisa b'mekarkai nami hava. So I'll say ultimately, but the case, the situation in Pompadisa, where the guy was makdish his property, was the case ultimately where it was on karka. Vahad maise b'de pompadisa b'mekarkai nami hava. Mekarkai de mechutsa la'aretz kimetatli deret yisrael dami. Bose is quite a beautiful statement. The karka of chutz la'aretz is like the metatlin of Eretz Yisrael. So in general, again, the way it works is karka is considered to be, right, the highest form of property, right, real property, metalkin, movable property, to which the Gemara says the karka of chutz la'aretz is like the metalkin of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that even when there's no yovel in effect, and therefore again, chirim does not take effect upon karka. It only takes effect upon metaltalin. The case in Pompadisa, even though the guy was makdish his karka, the karka of chutz laretz is like the metaltalin of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore again, the chirim vow did in fact devolve upon this guy's estate. Good. So we'll say, good. So says the Mishnah, this is actually a continuation of the previous Mishnah. Bishma says, Ksiv, Kasuv Echad Omer, Takdish, the Kasuv Echad Omer, Lo Yakdish. So I'll say, this is actually talking about by Bechor. By Bechor. So one Pasuk says Takdish, the other Pasuk says Lo Yakdish. So what's going on over here? E'ef Shalomar Takdish, Shekvar No Namar Lo Yakdish. E'ef Shalomar Lo Yakdish, Kvar Namar Takdish. So I'll say, so what's happening over here? So one Pasuk says by Bechor it will become Kodesh. One Pasuk says by Bechor it doesn't become Kodesh. So how Kitzot? Makdisho. Okay, so Makdisho osa hektish ilui viata makdisho hektish mizbeach. So what it teaches us is as follows, that ultimately, again, if you have a bechor, you have the ability to go ahead and consecrate it, even on a high. We have the ability to confer upon it an additional level of kodesh. So look at Rashi, hektish ilui. So we'll say, remember again, this goes back to the last Mishnah. You have the ability, if you have, let's say, a Bechor, in this case, we're talking about a Bechor, you have the ability to make the Bechor into a Cherim. What is it? You have the ability to make the Bechor into a Cherim. That ultimately, again, if you make your Bechor Cherim, what that means is you pledge the value of that Bechor to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what it means, Takdish. You can even consecrate your Bechor, which is already consecrated. How can you consecrate it further? By pledging its value in the form of a Cherim to the Beis HaMikdash. What can't you do? You cannot karbonically repurpose it. You cannot take a Bechor animal and designate it ultimately as a different type of karbon. V'yata makdish hekdish mizbeach. V'rabbanon says, the Gemara of Rabbanon, Al takdish mi bayle lelav. So we'll say the Rabbanon say Al takdish teaches me that ultimately there is a lav. What's the lav, Rabbosai? Rashi says shematfiz l'shem sevach acher over belav. That if you were to take a bechor animal and you were to carbonically repurpose it, you would be in violation of a prohibition. On the other hand, lelav. Takdish mi bayle lechidisanya. What do the Rabbanon do with the positive statement of takdish? They require it for as follows. Minayin lenolod bechor be'edro shemitzvah lakdisho. How do you know that if you have a bechor born into your flock, that there is a mitzvah to consecrate that bechor? Which means that ultimately, again, if you have a bechor born into your flock, there is a mitzvah to declare it as a bechor. From where do you know that? Shene'emar hazochar takdish. The pasuk says, you shall consecrate the Bechor. So ultimately, it was according to Rabbi Shmuel says, ilo makdish le, lo kadish, lo kadish. So Rabbi Shmuel says, why do you have to do that? Tell me, if you don't consecrate it, is it not kadish? We know that's not the case. Kiddushas mirachem hava, a Bechor Rabbi says, is consecrated already in utero. It doesn't require the extra level, ultimately, of hekdish. Shene'emar hazochar takdish. I'm sorry, Rabbi Shmuel, ilo makdish le, lo kadosh kedushas mirechem hava vechivan dechilo makdish le kadosh, and therefore even if you don't consecrate it, it is kadosh lezarach lakdusha. There is no need for any level of additional verbal consecration. So I'll say, so therefore again, This is a separate halacha. The fundamental machlokes in the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shmuel, that when it comes to a bechor animal, are you obligated to verbally designate it as a bechor again? So Rabbi Shmuel says yes. The Rabbanan say yes. Rabbi Shmuel says no. Good. Hajn alach hamakdish sadeh. Shkach, we'll say good. Right there. Amud beis. Hamokher sadeh b'shasiyo. So we'll say now we go further in a different discussion over here. If someone sells his field, so we'll say, so that's actually a fascinating discussion. Someone sells his field. Now, b'shas ha'yovel over here means at a time when yovel applies. As she points out, so this is in a time when yovel is in effect. So, hamokher asadeh b'shas ha'yovel, eino muter ligo pachos mishtei shanim. So we'll say a general halach in real estate transactions. If you sell a field at a time when yovel is in effect, there is a certain amount of time in which you are not permitted to redeem the field. Namely, in the first 2 years after the sale, you are not permitted to redeem the field. Shene emar, b'mispar shnei tevuos yimach elecha. Because we'll say, the Gemara is dashing over here, literally, in the number, the literal translation is, b'mispar shnei tevuos, in the number of two tevuos, 2 years of crops, you may yimach elecha, it will be sold to you. We're going to see the way the Gemara is going to dash in this pasuk Rabosai is that when you sell a field, essentially again the buyer is assured of 2 years of crops, which again we'll explain what exactly that means. But halacha l'maaseh, for our purposes right now, what it means is that when you sell a field, you cannot exercise your redemption right for the first 2 years after sale. Also remember again, what we saw in the previous parak is that halacha l'maaseh, when you sell ancestral land, you always have the right to redeem that land. This is one of the fascinating aspects of real estate transactions in Eretz Yisrael. Right? If I sell my steachus, I sell my ancestral land, I could sell it and I could come to the buyer and at any point I could say, listen, this land is mine. I hereby exercise my right to buy it back from you. Obviously, again, I have to buy it back at fair market value. Fair market value is real estate transactions were always understood to be essentially 50-year sales. So then I figured out how many years you had it based on the purchase price and I redeem it. Now the Mishnah tells me I can't exercise that right for the first 2 years after the sale. Shneimar, good. Now listen to this. Let's say I sell my field to Reuven. And what happens? Year number one was Shnas Shidafon O Yerakon. Shidafon literally means wind blast. Yerakon means literally means jaundiced or yellowed. Something happened that the crops did not grow. An act of God. Or a Shemitah year. Which means that what? Reuven was not able to plant the field. What's the halacha? Eino olam in a minyan. So we'll say, if because of an act of God or a Shemitah year, there were no crops, that year doesn't count. That year doesn't count. And therefore, again, Reuven will essentially be able to hold on to the field for 3 years. So what we're beginning to see over here is that halacha l'maisa, the 2 years where I can't exercise my redemption option have to be years where a crop yield was possible. However, what happens? Nara ohovira elo ola lo min aminyan. We'll say, but however, if ultimately again Reuven plowed the field, but he just never seeded it, or he let the field lay fallow, then ultimately this counts as part of the 2 years. So we'll say, so what we begin to see is what? If Reuven just didn't work the field, he can't come back to me and claim, well, I didn't have a crop this year, so it doesn't count as one of the 2 years. That doesn't work. But if because of an act of God, right, either because of destructive act of God, like just it was wind blasted or jaundiced, or Shemitah year, then Reuven can say this doesn't count ultimately again as one of the years, and therefore I have the right to hold on to the field for another year. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Machra lo lifnei Rosh Hashanah, v'imalei aperas. So Rabbi Elazar says, if I sold Reuven the field before Rosh Hashanah, and before Rosh Hashanah, right, so essentially I sold him a field, an unharvested field. Remember again, Sukkis is the harvest season. So I sold him a field filled with produce, unharvested fruit, unharvested field. So it'll turn out that what? Reuven will essentially hold on to the field for three harvest seasons. He'll get three harvests out of 2 years. Obviously, again, he'll get the first harvest because I sold him a field that was filled with produce, and he will hold on to the field for a subsequent 2 years. Good, says the Gemara. Hamocher sadeh b'shnas hayova v'chulei. So the first halacha the Mishnah said is if I sell Reuven a field during when Yovel is in effect, what's the halacha? I am not permitted to redeem that field within the first 2 years after the sale. Eino goel lo katani. The Mishnah doesn't say I don't redeem it in the first 2 years. Ela eino mutter ligol. Well, say the Mishnah uses a very strong lashon of eino mutter ligol. I am not permitted to redeem it within the first 2 years. Alma kasabar isura nami iko. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see that halacha lamaisa, there is an isser for me to redeem that field within the first 2 years. Da filu, listen to this, karkushe zuze nami aser. We'll say, what can't I do? I can't come before Reuven and, you know, take out my wad of cash and fan myself with the wad of cash. Literally, karkushe zuze means I can't rattle the coins in front of him. So we'll say, what it means is I can't allude even to a sale within those first 2 years. I can't allude to it. So the Gemara says, karkushe zuze nami aser. And I will say, not only does it apply ultimately again to the mocher, to me, the seller, right? Because I have a positive commandment not to redeem it. But this is actually quite amazing. So I will say, both the buyer and the seller are both prohibited to go ahead and engage in a resale during the first 2 years. Both of us have an assay that we can't resell land. I will say, not only that, I can't even hint at a resale. Even karkushe zuze, even coming and just, jangling the coins, right? You know, clinking the coins in front of him, right? Taking out the wad of cash in front of him, I am not allowed to do that during the first 2 years. Itmar, hamochers debishnas hayovel. This is an interesting case. What happens if I actually sell property during the actual Yovel year? This is really quite fascinating here. So remember again, what happens in Yovel? This is the previous part, right? All ancestral lands return back to their original owner. So now I'm taking a piece of steachuza and I'm selling it to Reuven during the Yovel year. What's the nature of that transaction? So Rav Amar, Rav says, Mechur Revi Yotze. What's that? You're quite amazing. Rav says, it works. But we'll say, what happens? It's sold, and then what? It immediately reverts back. It's sold. So the transaction works. The sale works. But immediately after the sale, the property comes back to me, the owner, and then what? I refund the money ultimately again to the purchaser. Shmuel says the transaction doesn't work. The sale doesn't take effect. My time to Shmuel. So what's Shmuel's logic that the sale doesn't take effect? Kavachomer. Shmuel says simple kavachomer. Oma mechura kvar yotza shere mechura eno din shloti mocher. So Shmuel says, of course it doesn't take effect. If that which was already sold returns back, then what? Then certainly that which has not yet been sold cannot be sold. Ulurav, lo aminon kavachomer ki haygavno. I will say, and would Rav not subscribe to this kavachomer? Vatanya, we learned in a brisa, yochol yimkar adam is bido kishi nara. You might have thought that a man has the right to sell his daughter when she's a nara. Amrit kavachomer, but I say kavachomer. Uma mechura kvar yotza. If a man sold his daughter when she was a kitano, and she becomes a nara, she goes out free. So certainly, again, if he did not sell her as a ketana, he certainly can what? Cannot sell her as a nara. So you see that Shmuel does subscribe to this type of kavachomer. Hasam lo hadra mizdabna. It's different. In the case of the daughter, once she becomes a Nara, the father no longer has any rights in her sale. Halcha, Hadra Mizdabna. In this case here, I will say it's true that during Yovel you can't sell, but what? After Yovel, the possibility to sell does come back. So we'll say, so therefore again, fundamental machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. If you sell property during the Yovel year itself, this is actually clearly owned to us, Steachuza, right? You sell Steachuza property during the Yovel year itself, what is the nature of the transaction? You're asking transactionally, does it work? Shmuel says, no. Of course it doesn't work, right? If Yovel cancels out essentially all previous transactions, it simply prevents any new transactions from occurring during that time. Rav says, no, it works for that moment. For that moment, the land is sold, and what happens about, say, what happens afterwards? It cancels out, or essentially, it reverts back. So I could sell Esteh Chuzah to Reuven. For that moment, it is sold, but right afterwards, again, the land comes back to me, and the money goes back to Reuven. To which the Gemara says, Meisvei, Achar Hayovel Shonim Tikne. So I say, so the Pasuk says, this is talking about real estate purchases, right? When you go ahead and you sell property, so after hayovel, when you sell property after the yovel, so we'll say, so what happens? Shanam tikne, you sell property for a certain duration of time. Melamed shemochrim samoch liyovel. So we'll say, so this teaches me that what? That I could sell property even close to Yovel, right? Mufag mina Yovel minayim. So ultimately, I don't know that I could even sell it far away from Yovel. Talmud Lomar, lefi rov hashanim ulefi ma'at hashanim. Ubishnas hayovel lo yimkar. But Rabbi Yosef says the Braisa, during the Yovel year itself, you cannot sell property. Ve'imachar ina mechura. And if you try to sell property during the Yovel year, then it does not work. So we'll say this price, it seems to clearly support Shmuel, that you can sell Steachuza property during the Yovel year. And contradicts Rav, Amar Lecha Rav, Rav says, no. Eina Mechura Lemispar Shnei Tvuos, Ama Mechura Hi V'yotza. So Rav says, what it means is like this, that Aloha Lemaise, if you sell property during the Yovel year, so it doesn't work in accordance with normative real estate transactions. Now we'll say, what's the halacha for normal real estate transactions? If you sell Steachuza, then what? There's a 2-year moratorium on real estate buybacks. So Rav says, that does not apply if you sell the property during the Yovel year, but the transaction itself is valid. To which the Gemara says, Sabamuchurahi v'yotza. But if you sell it, it works, but it just immediately reverts. First wide line, V'i is dabune mizbina, Tekom birshuse ad basar yovel, ubasar yovel mechle shnei tivov and a hadre. So the Gemara asks Rav, well, why don't you say like this? Rav, if you say that the real estate transaction works, I have a better etza for you. Say like this, I sell the property to Reuven, let the property remain in Reuven's possession, but what? He gets 2 years after Yovel to hold on to it. Why don't we say that? Milo Tanya, after all, did we not learn? We'll say we actually have precedent for this. Why? What's the halacha? If I sell Reuven Steachuza property before Yovel, it's actually quite interesting. 1 year before Yovel. So what's the halacha? The halacha is he enjoys that property for 1 year during the Yovel. Excuse me, before the Yovel. Then Yovel comes, he has the right to enjoy that property for 1 year after the Yovel. In other words, we give him, so we see a concept that sometimes Yovel can kind of put things into a holding pattern to be resumed after the Yovel year. So Rav, if you believe that a real estate transaction could actually occur during Yovel, I have a better eitz. Instead of saying that you sell it, the sale works, and then what? It immediately reverts back. Say, if you sell property during the Yovel year, it works. Reuven, you could hold on to the property, but your 2-year clock doesn't start till after the Yovel. To which the Gemara says, no. Hasam nachis la'achila, ha'chalo nachis la'achila. Here's the difference. The difference is we could say that when you began to consume the property, then even if Yovel comes, even if Yovel comes, we'll say, okay, Yovel puts you into a holding pattern, and then you'll continue your property consumption for the year after Yovel. The problem over here is that when you sell property during Yovel itself, it, according to Rav, essentially, it allows for the transaction to take effect, but not take hold. You hear the distinction between that? Transactionally, we'll say, if you sell property, if I give you money for property, you bought it. If it becomes yours, it becomes yours. Yovel then very quickly undoes that property. It doesn't allow it to take hold. Mashenkin, if I sell you property a year before the Yovel, you've begun to consume the property, it's yours. Yovel comes, Yovel puts that transaction on hold, allowing you to get your other year of consumption after the Yovel. That's the distinction. If you began to enjoy the property, Yovel puts the transaction into a holding pattern and then allows you to get your second year after Yovel. If you sell property during Yovel itself, transactionally it works. It works, but Yovel essentially immediately undoes the transaction immediately afterwards. That's what Rav says. And therefore, again, although the suggestion of allowing it to work and then enjoy it 2 years after Yovel is a nice one, Yovel never allows that to get off the ground. So we'll say, we'll stop over here for today. We're going to pick up again. So this is the fundamental machlokas in Rav and Shmuel. What happens if you sell property during Yovel itself? Shmuel says the transaction simply is void. If Yovel voids pre-existing transactions, it certainly will void transactions that are done on the Yovel year itself. Shmuel says it's not void. It works for a moment, and then Yovel ultimately, again, undoes it in the very next. How the machlokas further plays out, the ramifications of that machlokas, we'll see tomorrow.